Paul Scofield plays Gary Essendine in this new production of Noel Coward's Present Laughter, with Fenella Fielding, Miriam Margulies, Joy Parker, Patricia Routledge, and David Timpson. Present Laughter.
Hello, hello. Cynthia, darling, it's Daphne. Yes, are you alone? Listen, I'm you know where. Yes, in Gary Essendine's flat. No, he isn't awake yet. There's nobody about at all. No, in the spare room. I've only just got up. I'm not dressed or anything. I can't go on about it now. Someone might come in. Yes, as soon as I'm dressed. In about an hour, I should think. Of course, I can't wait to tell you. All right. Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
What time is Mr. Essendine going to be called?
He will ring.
What time does he usually ring?
That depends what time he went to bed. If you were very late, he will probably sleep until the afternoon.
Oh, dear. Couldn't you call him?
Alas, no. We can never call him.
Well, do you think I could have some coffee or orange juice?
I will see.
Or something. Oh, dear.
Whoops, excuse me.
Don't worry, Brad.
Good morning.
Good morning, miss.
I suppose you're Mr. Essendine's butler.
That it, miss. Name's Fred.
Have you any idea what time Mr. Essendine get up?
It might be any time. He didn't leave no note.
Couldn't you call him? It's nearly 11 o'clock.
Oh, the whole place goes up in smoke if we wake him by accident, let alone call him.
Well, do you think I could have some breakfast?
Oh, well now, what would you fancy?
Some coffee, please, and some orange juice.
Rightio, miss. Morning, Miss Reed.
Morning, Fred.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. I'm Mr. Essendine's secretary. Is there anything I can do for you?
Oh, well, I'm afraid it's rather awkward. You see, Mr. Essendine drove me home last night from a party, and I idiotically forgot my latchkey. And so Mr. Essendine very sweetly said I could spend the night here, in the spare room.
I see.
And now, I was wondering if somebody could tell Mr. Essendine that I'm, here. I don't want to go away without saying goodbye and thanking him.
Have you known Mr. Essendine long?
Well, no, not exactly. I mean, of course, I've known him for ages. I think he's wonderful, but we actually only met last night for the first time at Maureen Janet's party.
I see.
Have you been with him for a long while?
Just on 17 years.
Oh, how wonderful. I expect you know him better than anybody.
Less intimately than some, better than most.
We talked for hours last night. He told me all about his early struggles.
Mm. Did he by any chance mention that life was passing him by?
Yes, I think he did say something like that.
Oh, dear.
Why?
I just wondered.
Well, I do hope you don't think it's awful me staying the night here like this. I mean, it does look rather bad, doesn't it?
Well, really, Miss...
Stillington, Daphne Stillington.
Miss Stillington, that's hardly my business, is it?
No, I suppose not, but I wouldn't like you to think...
17 years is a long time, Miss Stillington. I gave up that kind of thinking in the spring of 1922.
Will you have breakfast in here, Miss, or in the spare room?
In here, please.
I really think you'd be more comfortable in the bedroom. The studio becomes rather active round about 11. And people call, you know, and the telephone rings.
Very well.
I'll let you know the minute he wakes up.
Oh, thank you so much.
Don't mention it, miss. Oh, who's she, I wonder?
Weren't you here last night?
No, she's news to me.
If he hasn't rung by 12, we'd better wake him.
You know what happened last time?
It can't be helped. He's got to lunch out, anyhow.
Well, if the balloon goes up, don't blame me. Whoops, Lord, here he is.
I suppose it's no interest to either of you that I've been wakened from a deep, deep sleep by everyone screaming like banshees. What's going on?
I've been talking to Miss Stillington.
Who the hell is Miss Stillington?
She's in the spare room.
I didn't ask where she was, Monica. I asked who she was.
We might look her up in the telephone book.
She forgot her latchkey, if you know what I mean.
Go away, Fred, and get me some coffee.
Rightio.
And don't stay right here.
Oh, very good, sir.
Oh, thank you very much.
You met her at a party last night and brought her home here and told her about your early struggles and she stayed the night.
Oh, I remember now. She's a darling and I'm mad about her. What did you say her name was?
Stillington. Daphne Stillington.
I knew it was Daphne, but I had the faintest idea it was Stillington. How'd she look to you?
Restive.
Poor little thing.
I hope you were sweet to her. Has anybody given her anything to eat?
Fred's taken her some coffee and orange juice.
What's she doing now?
I don't know. Drinking it, I suppose.
Ah, it's dreadful, isn't it? What are we to do?
She wants to say goodbye to you and to thank you.
Whatever for?
That, Gary, dear, I am in no position to say.
She's probably sobbing her heart out.
Why don't you go and see?
Lend me a comb, and I will.
Here.
What a deplorable-looking object. Good God, I look 98.
Never mind.
In 2 years from now, I shall be bald as a coot with rows of angry false teeth leering at me from a tumbler. Then perhaps she'll be sorry.
On the contrary, I shall be delighted. There will be fewer eager, gently bred debutantes ready to lose their latchkeys for you when you've got a toupee perched on top of your head, and life will be a great deal simpler.
I shall never wear a toupee, Monica, however bald I get. Perhaps on stage I might have a little front piece, but in life, never. I intend to grow old with distinction.
I'm sure that'll be a great relief to all of us.
Here's your sordid little comb.
Now do go and do a nice goodbye scene, there's a dear, and get rid of it as quickly as possible. We've got to do the mail, and Morris might appear at any minute, and we can't have her littering up the place and getting in everybody's way.
Gary, I thought I heard your voice.
My dear.
If you want me, I shall be in the office, Gary.
Go along, Monica.
You won't forget, will you, that at 12 sharp, Morris is coming to discuss what understudies you're going to take to Africa.
No, Monica.
And that at 12:30, you have given an appointment to Mr. Roland Moore.
I shall remember, Monica. Ah, darling.
Gary. Oh, Gary. I'm ridiculously happy.
I'm so glad, darling.
Are you?
Happy? There's something awfully sad about happiness, isn't there?
What a funny thing to say.
It wasn't meant to be funny.
I've been in love with you for such a long time.
Don't say that.
Why? What matter?
Don't love me too much, Daphne. Promise me you won't. You'll only be unhappy. No good can come of loving anyone like me. I'm not worthy of it. Really, I'm not.
You're more worthy of it than anyone in the world.
Foolish child.
I'm not a child. I'm 24.
Ah, 24. 24. If only I were younger. If only you were older.
What does age matter when people love each other?
I wonder how tragically often that's been said.
Well, it's true.
Look at me, Daphne. Look at me kindly, clearly, and honestly. Look at the lines in my face, my thinning hair. Look at my eyes.
Well, you're not so very old.
I didn't say I was so very old, Daphne. I merely said look at me. As a matter of fact, I'm only just 40.
What's 40?
Too old for 24.
You mean you don't love me?
I don't mean any such thing.
But Gary...
Listen, my dear. You're not in love with me, the real me. You're in love with an illusion. The illusion that I gave you when you saw me on the stage. Last night I ran a terrible risk of breaking that dear young illusion forever, but I didn't, oh thank God I didn't. It's still there. I can see it in your eyes, but never again. Never, never again. That's all I dare to hope for now. Moments like last night. That's why I'm so lonely sometimes, so desperately lonely. But I have learned one bitter lesson in my life, and that lesson is to be able to say goodbye.
But Gary,
let me go on, dear.
But I want to tell you.
We meet not as we parted. We feel more than all may see. My bosom is heavy-hearted, and thine full of doubt for me. One moment has bound the free. That moment has gone forever, like lightning that flashed and died. Like a snowflake upon the river, like a sunbeam upon the tide, which the dark shadows hide.
But Gary...
Be quiet for a minute, darling. That moment from time was singled as the first of a life of pain. The cup of its joy was mingled, delusion too sweet though vain, too sweet to be mine again. There now, that was Shelley. Don't you think it's beautiful?
Yes, but Gary...
There's nothing Shelley didn't know about love. Not a thing. All the sadness, all the joy, all the unbearable pain.
Oh,
Jackie. Don't cry. Please, please don't cry. I can't bear it.
How can you say that I'm only in love with an illusion and not the real you at all?
Because it's true.
It isn't. It was the real you last night. You weren't on the stage. You weren't acting.
I was. I'm always acting. Watching myself go by, that's what's so horrible. I see myself all the time eating, drinking, loving, suffering. Sometimes I think I'm going mad.
I could help you if you'd only let me.
What, dear?
I could help you if you'd only let me.
If only you could. But it's too late.
It isn't. I swear to you, it isn't. You
must get out of the tiresome habit of contradicting everything I say. It is too late. Listen, my dear. It isn't that I don't love you, I do. I knew it the first moment I took you in my arms last night. But you see, I'm not free, like other men, to take happiness when it comes to them. I belong to my public and to my work. In 2 weeks' time, I'm going to Africa with a repertory of 6 plays. And you realize what that means, the work, the drudgery, the nerve strain. But that's my job, the one thing to which I must be faithful. When I come back, if I come back, I shall look at you again and I shall know in the first glance whether you've waited for me or not. Ah, come here. Kiss me. Once, just once. And then go.
Oh, Gary, you darling.
Au revoir, my sweet. Not goodbye. Just au revoir. Quarter past 11. Come, dear. Way with melancholy. It's 11:15. Hurry up and get dressed.
Do you want your coffee here or upstairs?
Anywhere, Fred, anywhere. I'll put it anywhere within reason.
I'd have brought it in to you, but I heard all the weeping and the wailing going on and thought perhaps I'd better not.
Put the tray down, Fred, and go away.
Righty-o.
Fred said I was to go and speak to the young lady.
Very well, Miss Erickson.
What shall I say to her?
I really don't know.
I've been to the grocery.
That's as good an opening gambit as any.
Just see that she has everything she wants, Miss Erickson, and turn on a bath for her.
A bath? No, that I cannot do. The tap makes no water.
Well, rise above the whole situation and do the best you can.
Oh, I will try.
Preserve that spirit of cheerful optimism, Miss Erickson. Coffee tastes of curry powder.
Never mind.
I do mind. I wish I had a French chef instead of a Scandinavian spiritualist.
You could never get rid of Miss Erickson. She worships you.
Everybody worships me. It's nauseating.
There's hell to pay if they don't. Hello? Mr. Essendine, secretary speaking? Oh, Tony. Hold on, he's just here. He wants to know what you thought of the play last night.
I'll tell him. Morning, Tony. Thank you very much for the seats. They were most comfortable. No, Tony. No. Frankly, no. Now tell me, in a few brief phrases, what on earth persuaded you to coax poor old Laura from her merciful retirement? Oh, as I know, she has a certain attack. She also happens to be one of the few actresses living who can be dressed by Schiaparelli and look as if she'd been upholstered by maples. And she has about as much sex appeal as a haddock. No, I haven't read them. I never read notices. That's insufferable. If they think ranting and roaring is good acting, I'm thankful I'm going to Africa. Come round about 6. Liz will be here. She gets back from Paris today. All right, goodbye. See you later.
Is Miss Stillington dressed yet?
Yes, but she is crying, which makes her slow. The bath was on the blink.
You'd better go upstairs, Gary. Right. Miss Erickson, tell Fred Mr. Essendine wants his bath.
I will tell him.
Hello? Oh, Henry. Yes. Yes, he's in, but he's gone to have his bath. Today? Oh, I thought you weren't going until the end of the week. Yes, of course. He's not lunching until 5:30. All right, I'll tell him.
Hello, Miss Erickson. What's everybody in? Yes, I think so. Good morning, Monica, dear.
Oh, Liz, darling. We thought you weren't coming back until tonight.
I came over on the ferry, loaded with gifts like an Eastern potentate. Here's one for you.
Lovely.
It's a bottle of scent and very expensive.
Oh, thanks so much, Liz. Oh, you are a darling.
What's God up to?
In the bath.
I brought him a dressing gown.
How thoughtful. He's only got 18.
Don't be acid, Monica. You know he loves peacocking about in something new. It's nice and thin and highly suitable for Africa. Miss Erickson looked more peculiar than ever this morning. Is her spiritualism getting worse?
She got in touch with a dead friend at a seance on Sunday, and all he said was no, 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 and Christmas Day. It upset her very much.
I do hope she won't get any dotty and do something awful.
I don't think she will. Hers is quite a tranquil madness.
Hello, Fred. How's everything?
Bit of a lash up, miss. Same as usual.
It's very resolute of Fred to go on calling me miss, isn't it?
I think he has a sort of idea that when you gave up being Gary's wife, you automatically reverted to maidenhood.
It's a very pretty thought.
Oh, Miss Stillington. There you are. I'm so sorry about the bus.
It didn't matter a bit.
This is Mrs. Essendine. Miss Stillington,
how do you do?
Oh, Mrs. Essendine? Do you mean, I mean, are you Gary's wife?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were divorced.
We never quite got round to it.
Oh.
Please, don't look agitated. I often left him years ago.
Miss Stillington lost her latchkey last night, so she spent the night in the spare room.
Oh, you poor dear. You must have been absolutely congealed.
Do you think I could get a taxi?
I'll ring up for one.
No, don't do that. My car's downstairs. It can take you wherever you want to go.
Oh, that's most awfully kind of you.
Not at all. The chauffeur's got bright red hair and his name's Frobisher. You can't miss him.
Thank you very much indeed. You're sure it's not inconvenient?
Not in the least. Just tell him to come straight back here after he's dropped you.
Oh, yes, of course I will. Thank you very much again.
Not at all.
Goodbye.
I'll see you out.
No, please. No trouble
at all.
Has that been going on long, Monica, or is it new?
Quite new. I found it wandering about in Gary's pajamas.
Oh, poor little thing. How awful for her to be faced with me like that. You ought to have pretended I was someone else.
Serve her right. She ought to be ashamed of herself.
She seemed to be what is known as a lady. It's very odd, isn't it?
That type's particularly idiotic, and the woods are full of them. They go shambling about London without hats and making asses of themselves.
Very discouraging.
Well, I don't mind if only they'd leave Gary alone. It makes the morning so complicated. I think it's high time we all went for him again, if only out of consideration for Africa.
I'll have a go at him. After all, he's turned 40 now. It's high time he relaxed.
If you think a big scene's really necessary, we can get Henry and Morris, too, and have a real rouser the night before he sails. It's generally more effective when we all do it together.
Morris is awfully hysterical these days, and Henry's not nearly so reliable since he married Joanna.
Do you like her?
She's a lovely creature, but tricky. Yes, I think I like her all right.
I don't.
You never would, darling. She's not your cup of tea at all.
Who isn't your cup of tea at all?
Joanna.
Oh, she's not bad. Bit predatory, perhaps, but as far as I can see, everyone's predatory in one way or another.
I shall give it up for Lent.
Good morning, darling. Where's my present?
On the piano.
Not another glass horse, is it, to go with Lord Baldwin?
No, it's a dressing gown for Africa.
A dressing gown, Monica, just what we wanted. Oh, it's absolutely charming. I'm mad about it. Oh, so beautifully austere. Don't say anything important for a minute. Ah, impeccable taste. Best possible colonial propaganda.
Henry rang up. He's going to Brussels today, and he's coming in to see you before he goes. I think Morris is, too.
Go away then, Monica. I must talk to Gary before Morris gets here. It's important.
You'd better hurry. Mr. Maul will be here in a minute.
Who is Mr. Maul?
You know perfectly well who he is. He's the young man who wrote that mad play, half in verse, and caught you on the telephone. You were so busy being attractive and unspoiled by your great success that you promised him an appointment.
Monica, dear, it is your pride and pleasure to protect me from things like that. I can't possibly see him.
You must see him. He's coming all the way from Uckfield, and it serves you right for snatching the telephone when I wasn't looking.
I've noticed a great change in you lately, Monica. I don't know whether it's because you've stopped cramming yourself with potatoes or what it is, but you're getting nastier and nastier with every day that passes. Go away.
I shall be in the office if you want, maybe.
Of course you'll be in the office, spinning awful plots and intrigues against me. I shouldn't wonder.
I will if I can think of any.
Oh, go away.
Liz, do try and persuade him to have some electric treatments on his hair. It's getting terribly thin.
Well, darling?
Tell me all about everything.
I saw the play.
Was it good?
Yes, very. We shall have to change it a bit. But I don't want to go on about it until I've seen Morris after lunch.
I told him I can't open until November. I must have a holiday after Africa, so there's lots of time.
Now, I want to talk to you about something else.
I don't like that tone at all. What's on your mind?
You... Your general behaviour.
Really, Liz, what have I done now?
Who was that poor little creature I saw here this morning in evening dress?
She'd lost her latchkey.
They often do.
Now, you listen to me, Liz.
You're over 40, you know.
Only just.
And in my humble opinion, all this scampering about is rather undignified.
Scampering about, indeed. You have a genius for putting things unpleasantly. I suppose you've been discussing all this with Monica Morris and Henry.
I haven't yet, but I will, unless I see some sign of improvement.
Blackmail, hey?
You know how you hate it when we all make a concerted pounce?
The thing that astonishes me in life is people's arrogance.
Well, you're a fine one to talk about arrogance.
It's fantastic. Look at you all, gossiping in corners, whispering behind your fans, telling me what to do and what not to do. It's downright sauce. That's what it is. And what happens if I relax my loving hold on any of you for 1 minute? Disaster. I happen to play a 3-month season in New York. Henry immediately gets pneumonia, goes to Biarritz to recover, meets Joanna, and marries her.
Isn't all this a little beside the point?
Certainly not. 20 years ago, Henry put all his money into The Lost Cavalier. Who played it for 18 months to capacity with extra matinees? I did. Who started his whole career as a producer in that play? Morris. And who...
I wish you'd stop asking questions and answering them yourself. It makes me dizzy.
Where would you all be without me? Where would Monica be now if I hadn't snatched her away from that revolting old aunt of hers and given her a job?
With the revolting old aunt.
And you, one of the most depressing, melancholy actresses on the English stage. Where would you be if I hadn't forced you to give up acting and start writing?
The Open Air Theatre, Regent's Park.
Good God, I even had to marry you to do it.
Yes, and a fine gesture that turned out to be.
Well, I was in love with you for longer than anyone else, so you can't grumble.
I never grumbled. I believe in going through any experience, however shattering.
Nonsense. You adored it. You know you did.
I still do, dear. You're so chivalrous, rubbing it in how dependent we all are on you for every breath we take.
Well, I didn't say that.
Anyhow, you're just as dependent on us now. We stop you being extravagant and buying houses every 5 minutes. We stopped you in the nick of time from playing Peer Gynt.
I still maintain that I should have been magnificent as Peer Gynt.
Above all, we stop you from overacting.
You have now gone too far. I think you'd better go away somewhere.
I've only just come back.
Monica! Monica!
What on earth's the matter?
Monica, have you, or have you not, ever seen me overact?
Frequently.
It's a conspiracy. I knew it.
As a matter of fact, you're overacting now.
Very well. I give in. You're all against me. It doesn't matter how much I'm wounded and insulted. It doesn't matter that my timorous belief in myself should be subtly undermined.
Your belief in yourself is about as timorous as Napoleon.
And look what happened to him. He died, forsaken and alone, on a beastly little island in the middle of the sea.
Islands have that in common. Now, about Morris.
What about Morris? What's wrong?
I'm not definitely sure that anything is really, but I've heard things.
Oh, what sort of thing?
I think you're going to have to do a little of your famous finger-wagging. It's Joanna.
Joanna?
Apparently, Morris is in love with her.
Morris and Joanna? He must be mad. Is Henry suspected?
I don't think so. But then he never would he, unless it was shoved under his nose.
But never to marry her in the first place. I always said it was a grave mistake. You can't introduce stereotyped diamond-studded sirens into a closely knit group like us without asking for trouble.
I don't think she's as stereotyped as all that.
Really?
But she's dangerous, all right.
Oh, but it's too tiresome. Just as I'm going away and everything. Might bust up the whole business.
If Henry finds out, it certainly will.
What are we to do?
You'd better, first of all, find out from Morris whether it's true or not. And if it is, how far it's gone. Then read the Riot Act and get him away somewhere. Take him to Africa with you, anything.
Oh, there's that beastly young man from Uckfield. And here am I trembling like a leaf. I can't face him. I know I can't.
It may not be the young man at all. It may be Morris.
Oh, to hell with Morris. To hell with everybody.
Oh, don't be idiotic. You know as well as I do that if there's any truth in this Joanna business, it'll land us all in the most sordid complications and probably wreck everything. You've got to find out. And if you don't, I shall.
He won't tell you a thing. You're going to get into a rage and ask you to mind your own business.
I shall be in until 1:15. Telephone me when he's gone.
He won't go. I'm lunching with him. I can't give you a detailed report of his love life over the telephone with him sitting here.
Dial my number by mistake and just say, I'm so sorry it's the wrong number. Then I shall know.
What will you know?
That everything's all right. But if you say, I'm so terribly sorry it's the wrong number, I'll know that everything's all wrong and be round in a flash to back you up.
Intrigue! My whole life is enmeshed in intrigue!
Have you got that clear? Will you promise to do it?
All right. The front doorbell, Miss Erickson, has been pealing incessantly for 28 minutes.
Oh, that's yes. I'm Mr. Moore. I'm expecting after you. Mr. Moore!
Ah! How do you do?
How do you do?
This is my wife, Mr. Moore.
She just popped in for a moment and is now about to pop out again.
Oh, how do you do?
I know you have an appointment with Gary, and I wouldn't dream of interrupting you, so I'll say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Remember, Gary, I shall be sitting by the telephone.
I'm so sorry it's the wrong number.
All right.
I'm so terribly sorry it's the wrong number.
All wrong.
Bye.
Do sit down, won't you?
Thank you.
A cigarette?
No, thank you.
Don't you smoke?
No.
Oh. Would you like a drink?
No, thank you.
Oh. Tell me, how old are you?
25. Why?
It doesn't really matter, I just wonder.
How old are you?
Oh, 40 in December. Ah, Jupiter, you know. Very energetic.
Yes, so, of course.
You've come all the way from Uckfield.
It isn't very far.
I know, but it sort of sounds far, doesn't it?
It's quite near Lewes.
There's nothing to worry about then, is there? Now, I must talk to you about your play.
I expect you hated it.
Well, to be candid, I did think it was a little uneven.
I thought you'd say that.
I'm glad I'm running so true to form.
Well, I mean, it really isn't the sort of thing you would like, is it?
In that case, why on earth did you send it to me?
I just took a chance. I mean, I know you only play rather trashy stuff as a rule, but I thought you just might like to have a shot at something deeper.
What is there in your play, Mr. Moore, that you consider so deep? Apart from the plot, which is completely submerged after the first four pages.
Plots aren't important. It's ideas that matter. Look at Chekhov.
In addition to ideas, I think we might concede Chekhov a certain flimsy sense of psychology, don't you?
You mean my play isn't psychologically accurate?
It isn't very good, you know. Really, it isn't.
I think it's very good indeed.
I understand that perfectly, but you must admit that my opinion, based on a lifelong experience of the theatre, might be the right one.
The commercial theatre.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
I suppose you'll say that Shakespeare wrote for the commercial theatre and the only point in doing anything with the drama at all is to make money. All those old arguments. What you don't realise is that the theatre of the future is the theatre of ideas.
That may be, but at the moment I am occupied with the theatre of the present.
And what do you do with it? Every play you appear in is exactly the same. Superficial, frivolous, without the slightest intellectual significance. You have a great following and a strong personality, and all you do is prostitute yourself every night of your life. All you do with your talent is wear dressing gowns and make witty remarks, when you might be really helping people, making them think, making them feel.
There can be no two opinions about it. I'm having a most discouraging morning.
If you want to live in people's memories to go down to posterity as an important man, you'd better do something about it quickly. There isn't a moment to be lost.
I don't give a hoot about posterity. Why should I worry about what people think of me when I'm dead as a doornail anyway? My worst defect is that I'm too apt to worry about what people think of me when I'm alive. But I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm changing my method, and you are my first experiment. Sit down. As a rule, when insufferable young beginners have the impertinence to criticize me, I dismiss the whole thing lightly because I'm embarrassed for them and consider it not quite fair game to puncture their inflated egos too sharply. But this time, my highbrow young friend, you're going to get it in the neck. To begin with, your play is not a play at all. It is a meaningless jumble of adolescent pseudo-intellectual poppycock.
Oh.
It bears no relation to the theatre or to life or to anything, and you yourself wouldn't be here at this moment if I hadn't been bloody fool enough to pick up the telephone when my secretary wasn't looking. Now that you are here, however, I would like to tell you this. If you wish to become a playwright, you leave the theatre of tomorrow to take care of itself. Go and get yourself a job as a butler in a repertory company, if they'll have you. Learn from the ground up how plays are constructed, what is actable and what isn't. Then sit down and write at least 20 plays, one after the other, and if you can manage to get the 21st produced for a Sunday night performance, you'll be damn lucky.
I'd no idea you were like this. You're wonderful.
Oh, my God.
I'm awfully sorry if you think I was impertinent just now, but I'm awfully glad, too, because if I hadn't been, you wouldn't have got angry. Oh. And if you hadn't got angry, I shouldn't have known what you're really like.
You don't in the least know what I'm really
oh,
like.
Oh, yes, I do, now.
I can't say it matters, anyhow.
Oh, it matters to me.
What do you mean?
Do you really want to know?
What are you talking about?
Well, it's rather difficult to explain, really.
What is rather difficult to explain?
What I feel about you.
Now, my dear young man.
No, please, let me speak. You see, in a way, I've been rather unhappy about you for quite a long time.
Oh.
You've been a sort of obsession with me. I saw you in your last play 47 times. One week I came every night in the pit because I was up in town trying to pass an exam.
Did you pass it?
No, I didn't.
I'm not entirely surprised.
My father wants me to be a lawyer. Imagine!
Imagine!
That's what the exam was for. But actually, I've been studying psychology a great deal because somehow I felt that I wasn't at peace with myself.
Imagine.
Then gradually, bit by bit, I began to realize that you signified something to me.
What sort of something?
I don't quite know. Not yet.
You know that not yet? It's one of the most sinister remarks I've ever heard.
Oh, don't laugh at me, please. I'm always sick if anyone laughs at me.
Forgive me, but you know you really are a most peculiar young man.
I'm all right now, though. I think I should be able to sublimate you all right.
Sublimate me?
Yes.
Then I'm afraid I shall have to ask you to go away and start now. I'm expecting my manager, and we have some business to discuss.
Oh, well, that's all right. I'm going immediately.
Shall I get you your script?
Oh, no. Tear it up. You were quite right about it. It was only written with part of myself. I see that now. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Monica! Monica!
Has he gone?
If ever that young man rings up again, get rid of him at all costs. Jesus, man, there's a hatter.
What did he do?
He started by insulting me and finished by sublimating me.
Oh, dear, you look quite shattered.
I am.
Have a glass of sherry.
It's the first kind words I've heard this morning.
I think I'll have a nip, too.
There's Morris.
Here you are.
Thank you. What time is it?
20 to 1. I'll let him in. Morris.
There's a strange young man sitting on the stairs.
What's he doing, Henry?
Crying. What have you been up to, Gary?
I haven't been up to anything. I merely told him what I thought of his play.
I'm glad to see you haven't lost your touch.
Sherry, Morris?
Oh, thanks.
Henry?
Is it the same sherry you always have?
Yes.
No, thanks.
Why not? What's the matter with it?
Nothing much. It's just not very nice.
You ought never to have joined the Athenaeum, Henry. It was disastrous.
I don't really see why.
It made you pompous.
It can't have. I've always been too frightened to go into it. Well, Henry's quite right about the sherry. It's disgusting.
If anybody complains about anything else, I shall go out of my mind. This studio has been like a wailing wall all morning.
Hello, what's the matter with the old boy, Monica? He seems remarkably crotchety.
Well, Liz went for him a bit, and then I told him he overacted.
Ooh.
He really has had rather a beastly time. Mm. And then that dotty young man on top of everything.
Well, never mind, Gary. God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. I've got some lovely news for you.
What?
Nora Fenwick can't come to Africa.
Why not?
She's broken her leg.
Well, really? How does a silly bitch do it?
She fell down at Victoria Station.
She'd no right to be at Victoria Station. Who can we get?
Morris wants Beryl Willard, but I don't think...
Morris wants who?
Beryl Willard.
Does he? So Morris wants Beryl Willard.
Why not? She's extremely competent.
I agree. I quite agree. Beryl Willard is extremely competent. Beryl Willard has been extremely competent man and boy for 40 years.
Oh, now, Gary.
In addition to her extreme competence, she has contrived, with uncanny skill, to sustain a spotless reputation for being the most paralyzing, epoch-making, monumental, world-shattering, god-awful bore that ever drew breath.
What he's trying to say is that he doesn't care for Beryl Willard.
All right, she's out. Whom do you suggest?
Just a moment. If you're going to start one of those casting arguments, I'm going. I've got to catch a plane for Brussels. I just want to let you know that you can't have the Mayfair Theatre for the French play in the autumn.
Why not?
Because Robert's got it for the whole season, starting in September.
Why did you let him? You knew I wanted it.
The Forum is very much nicer and the capacity is bigger.
It's a conspiracy. You both of you have been trying to get me into that underheated morgue for years.
It's being done up and redecorated.
It'll have to be rebuilt brick by brick before I step foot in.
Oh, arrange it later, will you, Morris? He's obviously in one of his states this morning. I can't stop now.
What are you going to Brussels for, anyhow?
Business. Nice, ordinary, straightforward business. Nothing to do with the theatre at all. I can't wait to get there. Goodbye, sweetie. Try to be a little more amiable when I come back.
Oh.
Goodbye, Monica.
Bye, Henry.
Goodbye, Morris. Oh, Morris, by the way, you might ring up Joanna. She's all alone.
Oh, I have. I'm taking her to the opening at His Majesty's tomorrow night.
Fine. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Do you want me any more?
Why? What are you going to do?
I'm going to write to Beryl Willard and ask her to come and live with you.
Sir Maurice, you're taking Joanna to the opening at His Majesty's tomorrow, are you?
Yes. Why?
Oh, Maurice.
What the devil's the matter?
You like Joanna, don't you?
Well, yes, of course I do. She's a darling.
I wouldn't describe her as a darling, exactly, but then I don't see very much of her. I'd rather gather that you do.
What are you getting at?
People are beginning to talk, Maurice.
What about?
About you and Joanna.
The rubbish.
Perfectly true, and you know it.
I don't know anything of the sort.
You in love with her?
No, of course I'm not.
Do you swear to me that you haven't had an affair with her?
Mind your own business.
Good God, if this isn't my business, nothing is. If you're fooling about with Joanna on the side and Henry finds out, do you realise what it'll mean?
I refuse to go on with this conversation.
You can refuse until you're blue in the face. You're going to listen to me.
I've no intention of submitting to one of your famous finger-wagging tirades. I'm sick to death of them.
I'm not going to ask you any more questions. I am, however, going to make you see one thing clearly, and it's this. You, Henry, Monica, Liz, and I share something of inestimable importance to all of us. And that something is mutual respect and trust. God knows it's been hard won. Here we are, five people, closely woven together by affection and work and intimate knowledge of each other. It's too important a setup to risk breaking for any outside emotion or reason whatsoever. Joanna is alien to us. She doesn't really belong to us. She never could. Henry realizes that perfectly well. He's nobody's fool, and to do him justice, he's never tried to force her on us. But don't you believe for one moment that Joanna isn't a potential danger, because she is. She's 100% female, exceedingly attractive, and ruthlessly implacable in the pursuit of anything she wants. If she could succeed in wrecking havoc among all of us, I'm quite certain she would leave no stone unturned. She's a scalp hunter, that baby, if ever I saw one. And all I implore you is this, be careful.
But I haven't the least intention of...
You needn't say anything now, but be careful. Is that clear?
Quite.
Good. Oh, good heavens, it's after one. I forgot to ring for a table.
Well, there's no need, we can always go upstairs.
No, we can't. Upstairs smells of potted shrimps. It might take a minute to bring up. I'm so sorry. It's the wrong number. Oh, how foolish of me. I'm always doing that lately. Hello. Oh, Liz. No, I've been in about half an hour. Yes, dear, quite alone. I'm turning over a new leaf. Hadn't you heard? Yes, with both of them. I went to supper with them at the Savoy afterwards, and Morris and I dropped her home. No, I didn't go on about it any more. I thought it wise and hard. You sound a bit sceptical. No, as a matter of fact, she was very charming. She's quite intelligent, you know, and I must say she's a permanent pleasure to the eye. All right. No, I've got to lunch with Tony. Very well, about 11. Yes, of course I'm going straight to bed with a book. Good night, darling. Same to you. Be good. Well, bed, I think. Damn, who on earth's that?
Joanna!
Gary! Oh, I can't tell you how relieved I am that you're in. I've done the most idiotic thing.
Why? Whatever's happened?
I've forgotten my latchkey.
Oh, Joanna.
Oh, don't look at me like that. I'm not in the least inefficient as a rule. This is the first time I've ever done such a thing in my life. I'm in an absolute fury. I had a dread in the most awful rush to dine with Frieda and go to the Toscanini concert. But I left it in my other bag.
And I suppose the servants all sleep at the top of the house?
They do more than sleep. They apparently go off into a coma. I've been battering on the door for nearly half an hour.
Would you like a drink?
Oh, very much indeed. I'm exhausted.
We must decide what is best to be done.
I went to a call box and rang up Liz, but she must be out because there wasn't a reply.
Oh, you rang up Liz and there wasn't a reply.
Hmm. Thank you. As I hadn't any more coppers and the taxi man hadn't either, I came straight here.
Cigarette?
Thank you. You are looking very whimsical. Don't you believe me?
Of course I believe you, Joanna. After all, why on earth shouldn't I?
I don't know. You always look at me as if you didn't trust me an inch. It's a shame, you know, because I'm so nice, really.
I'm sure you are, Joanna.
I know that voice, Gary. You've used it in every play you've ever been in.
Complete naturalness on the stage is my strong suit.
You never really liked me, have you?
No, not particularly.
Oh, why?
I always had a feeling you were rather tiresome.
In what way tiresome?
Oh, I don't know. There's a certain arrogance about you, a little too much self-assurance.
You don't care for competition, I see.
You're lovely looking, of course. I always thought that.
Thank you.
If perhaps a little too aware of it.
Oh, I wish you'd stop being suave. Just for a minute.
What would you like me to do? Fly into a tantrum? Burst into tears?
I think I should like you to be kind.
Kind?
Yes. At least kind enough to make an effort to overcome your perfectly obvious prejudice against me.
I'm sorry, it's so obvious.
I'm not quite an idiot, although I must say you always treat me as if I were. Now, I know you resented my marrying Henry, you all did. And I entirely see why you should have, anyhow, at first. But after all, that's 5 years ago. During that time, I've done my best not to obtrude myself, not to encroach on any special preserves. My reward has been rather meagre, from you particularly. Nothing but artificial politeness and a slightly frigid tolerance.
Oh, poor, poor Joanna.
I see my appeal has fallen on stony ground. I'm so sorry.
Well, what shall we do now?
Is there any necessity to do anything?
Well, my social sense tells me that something is demanded, but for the life of me, I can't think what it is.
There's always the radio.
Oh, no. Not here, there isn't.
I'm so glad I'm adult. You must be pretty shattering to the young and inexperienced.
Is that a subtle allusion to my charm?
You glitter so brightly. You're so gaily caparisoned. All the little bells tinkling.
I sound like a circus horse.
Well, you are rather like a circus horse, as a matter of fact. Prancing into the ring to be admired, jumping with such assurance through all the paper hoops.
You know, Joanna, dear, you really must make up your mind. This provocative skirmishing is getting me down. What do you want?
I want you to be what I believe you really are, friendly and genuine, someone to be trusted. I want you to do me the honor of stopping your eternal performance just for a little. Ring down the curtain, take off your makeup and relax.
I was right about you from the first.
Were you?
Yes, you're as predatory as hell.
Gary!
You got poor wretched Henry when he was convalescent, you made a dead set at Morris, and now, by God, you're after me. Don't deny it, I can see it in your eye. You suddenly appear out of the night, reeking with the lust of conquest. The whole atmosphere's quivering with it. You had your hair done today, didn't you? And your nails. Probably your feet, too. That's a new dress, those are new shoes. And your mind, even more expertly groomed to vanquish than your body. Every word, every phrase, every change of mood cunningly planned, just the right amount of sex antagonism mixed with subtle flattery, just the right switchover perfectly timed from provocative implication to wistful diffidence. You want to know what I'm really like, don't you, under all the glittering veneer? Well, this is it. This is what I'm really like. Fundamentally honest. When I'm driven into a corner, I tell the truth. And the truth at the moment is that I know you, Joanna. I know what you're after. I can see through every trick. Go away and leave me alone.
Curtain.
Oh.
Darling, darling.
How dare you call me darling?
I think you are a darling. I always have.
Will you please go away immediately?
You're really the reason I married Henry.
Are there no depths to which you will not descend?
Absolutely none. I'm in love with you. I've been in love with you for over 7 years now, and it's high time something was done about it.
This is the end.
No, my sweet, only the beginning.
Listen to me, Joanna.
I think you'd better listen to me first.
I assume no such thing.
No, you must. It's terribly important to us all. Please sit down.
I'd rather walk about, if you don't mind.
Sit down. Dear, sweet Gary, please sit down. You must concentrate. Things aren't nearly as bad as they look. I've got to explain, and I can't go worrying about it all the time.
This is dreadful, dreadful.
Now, first of all, I want you to promise to answer me one question absolutely truthfully, will you?
What is it?
Will you promise?
Yes, all right. Go on.
If you had never seen me in your life before, if we'd met for the first time tonight, if I were in no way concerned with anyone you know, would you have made love to me? Would you have wanted me?
Yes.
Well, that's that. Now...
Look here, Joanna.
No, shut up. Now, you must be fair. You must let me explain. Well, I said just now that you were really the reason I married Henry. That was only partly true. Now, I'm devoted to Henry. Much fonder of him than he is of me. Well, he was madly in love with me for the first 2 years. But he isn't now. You stood between us. Not only in my heart, but his. He hated your thinly veiled disapproval of me. And it gradually strangled his love for me. That's the worst of people like you, with your damn dominant personalities. You not only affect people when they're actually with you, but when they're away from you as well. Henry has been quietly unfaithful to me 11 times, to my certain knowledge, during the last 3 years. He's probably having a high old time in Brussels at this very moment.
You're lying, Joanna.
I'm not lying. I don't mind enough to lie. Henry's a darling, I wouldn't leave him for anything in the world. We get on perfectly. Much better now, really, than we did before. But you're the one I'm in love with and always have been. Now, I don't want to live with you, God forbid. You drive me mad in a week. But you are to me the most charming, infuriating, passionately attractive man that I've ever known in all my life.
What about Morris?
Morris? He was so idiotic. He was only a step nearer you.
Is he in love with you? Has there been anything between you?
Of course there hasn't. He's very sweet, but he doesn't attract me in the least. Never could.
Do you swear that?
There's no need for me to swear it. You can see, can't you? And even if you can't see, you must at least be able to feel that what I'm saying is true. Neither of us exactly adolescent. We both know enough by experience that when our instincts are pushing us with all their force in one direction, that it's foolish and painful to rush off into another.
Are you sure it's so foolish?
It's the most foolish thing in the world to store up regrets. Who could you and I possibly harm by loving each other for a little?
Please, may I get up now?
Yes.
How was the Toscanini concert?
Glorious. He played the 8th and the 7th.
Personally, I prefer the 5th.
I like the 9th best of all.
There's nothing like the dear old 9th.
I love the Queen's Hall, don't you? So uncompromising.
I love the Albert Hall. Much, much more.
I wonder why. I always find it depressing.
Not when they're doing our opera, surely. I won't hear one word against the Albert Hall.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is Mr. Edendine awake yet?
He has not rung.
I wonder if you'd be very kind and tell him that I am awake.
Alas, no. He would be crazy with anger.
Would he indeed? I should be crazy with anger myself unless I have some breakfast. Been ringing that bell in there for hours.
It does not work.
Oddly enough, that dawned on me after a while.
It is the mice. They eat right through the wires. They're very destructive.
Good morning, miss.
Good morning.
Oh, dear.
Beg your pardon.
You're Mrs. Lippiatt, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Sure. What do you know?
That, I gather, was Mr. Essendine's valet. Does he always behave like that?
He was a steward on a very large ship.
Most of the ship stewards I've met have got good manners.
He's the only one I know.
I would like some China tea, some thin toast without butter, and a soft-boiled egg, please.
We have no China tea and no eggs either, but I will make the toast with pleasure.
Have you any coffee?
Yes, we have coffee.
Then kindly bring me some as quickly as you can.
I will tell Fred.
And as he was on such a very large ship, perhaps he could do something about the tap in that bathroom.
And as he was not a bathroom steward. Good morning, Miss.
Good morning, Miss Erickson.
Good morning, Monica.
Joanna!
Thank heaven you've come. I've had such a complicated chat with that housekeeper.
Did you stay here last night?
Yes. Well, that's sweet of Gary to let me. I did the most idiotic thing. I lost my latchkey.
You lost your latchkey?
I was in a dreadful state, and then I suddenly thought of Gary.
Suddenly thought of Gary.
Why do you keep repeating everything I say?
I don't know. It seems easier than saying anything else.
Why, Monica... You actually look as though you disapproved of my staying the night here.
I think it was tactless, to say the least of it.
Never the same way. It was a perfectly natural thing to do in the circumstances.
I always knew it.
Always knew what?
That you'd cause trouble. Oh, there's someone at the door. You'd better go back in the spare room.
I'm quite happy here, thank you.
Just as you please.
Good morning, Monica.
Hello, Liz. I'm so glad you've come. Joanna's here.
Oh, is she? Good morning, Joanna. This is a surprise.
Liz, darling, I tried to get you for hours last night. I'd lost my latchkey and was in the most awful state. But you weren't in.
I was in from 10 o'clock onwards. You must have been ringing the wrong number.
I rang the number you gave me.
Then I must have given you the wrong number.
I shall be in the office if you want me, Liz.
Poor thing. She's aged so terribly since I last saw her. So she's mad about Gary, like all of us.
All of us, Joanna?
I must say, he is enchanting. We had the most lovely talk last night.
I think it would be better if neither Morris nor Henry knew you stayed the night here, Joanna.
But heavens, why? Henry wouldn't mind a bit.
I wouldn't be too sure of that if I were you. Anyhow, Morris would.
Morris? What's it got to do with Morris?
Oh, really, Joanna?
I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about.
Now, listen to me. I know perfectly well that you have been unfaithful to Henry with Morris, so you needn't trouble to deny it any further.
It's a most abominable lie.
Unfortunately, I dined quietly with Morris last night upstairs at the Ivy. He was very upset and became rather hysterical, as you know he sometimes does. And he told me everything.
So he told you everything, did he?
Well, it's quite natural that he should. After all, we're very old friends, you know, all of us.
How dare he discuss me with you, or with anyone.
Oh, don't be silly, Joanna.
Charming constellation of gossipy little planets circling round the great, glorious sun.
I was coming to that.
What do you mean?
I don't want to know anything about what happened last night, but I'll tell you one thing. The great, glorious sun is not going to get tangled up in this if I can stop it. And I can.
You mean you'd be low enough to tell Gary?
Yes, and Morris, and Henry. I'll tell them all, unless you do as I say.
And what if I don't?
You'll be out, my dear, with all of us for good. With Gary most of all, quite soon. And you wouldn't like that, you know. It would be very shaming to your vanity.
You're very sure.
Absolutely positive. I know Gary very well, you know. After all, I've had every opportunity.
Did you ever left him?
For him, yes, I think it is.
Why should you imagine that I should mind so terribly if I were out with all of you, as you put it?
Principally because you made such a terrific effort to get in. Now, are you going to be sensible and do what I ask you or not?
You haven't asked me anything yet.
I want you to promise me that you won't see Gary again before he goes to Africa.
I'm bound to see him again. How can I avoid it?
You can be ill. You can go to Paris, anywhere.
I've no intention of doing any such thing.
Very well.
It'll be you breaking everything up, not me.
That'll be Morris. He told me last night he was coming to see Gary at 11.
Oh. Look here, Liz.
I'm glad, really. It'll be more convenient. Oh.
Well, I can't face him. It'll be too unpleasant. I'll do as you say.
You swear it? You swear you won't see him again? You'll go away?
Yes, 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 I swear.
Well, quickly, go into the spare room. Don't come out until I tell you.
Yes.
It's a Mr. Maul. He says he's got an appointment.
A Mr. who?
Maul. He looks a bit wet to me.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, I suppose you'd better show him in. Miss Reed can deal with him. I'll tell her.
Righty-o, miss.
Monica! Monica!
What is it?
Mr. Maul is here.
He's no runt to be. He's raving mad.
Mr. Maul.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
We met before, do you remember?
Yes, very well. Just the other day.
Yes.
Have you an appointment with Mr. Essendine?
Oh, yes, indeed. I spoke to him last night on the telephone. He told me I was to come at 10:30. I fear I'm a little late.
I'm afraid you can't possibly see him just at the moment. Could you come back later?
Isn't there anywhere I could wait?
Oh, go into the office for a moment, and I'll find out when Mr. Essendine
can see you. Thank you very much.
Oughtn't I to have let him in?
Oh, I don't know. He says Mr. Garrett told him to come, although I hardly believe he did. You better go and wake him up and ask.
No, Monica. Don't wake Gary yet. I'd rather he slept on for a bit.
All right, Fred, we'll call him later.
It's all the same to me.
Now listen, Monica. I've guaranteed that neither you nor I will say a word to Henry or Morris or anybody about her being here if she swears not to see Gary again before he goes to Africa.
And did she?
Yes, she did. But Morris will be here at any minute and it's going to be awkward. There's a telephone in the spare room, isn't there?
Yes.
Is it the same number as this or different?
Well, it's the private line. This one is an extension from the office.
Mm, what's the number?
You know it, the private line. Sloane 2642.
Here he is. Leave this to me. I'll explain later.
Right home.
If you wouldn't mind waiting, sir, he's still asleep.
Well, no, he isn't. He's coming downstairs. But Gary, where are you going?
Out.
Out where?
Just out. Suppose I can go out if I want to, can't I?
Well, I never even knew you was up. You are a dark horse, and no mistake.
Don't be impertinent, Fred, and go away.
All right, all right. The gentleman's in the office, and the lady's in the spare room. If you happen to want either of them.
What's he talking about? The man's off his rocker.
Lady? Now, really, Gary, you're impossible. Who is it?
I would be so very, very much obliged if everybody would mind their own goddamn business.
For heaven's sake, get rid of her. I've got to talk to you. I'm in a bad way.
What's the matter?
But get rid of her first, whoever she is. She's probably got her ear clamped to the keyhole.
How can I get rid of her? She may be in the bar.
Well, tell her to hurry, then.
Now, look here, Morris.
But if you won't, I will.
I forbid you to go near that room. Morris, Morris!
Will you come out, please? As soon as you can.
Idiot!
I'm coming.
Huh?
I was only just powdering my nose.
Liz, it's you.
Of course. Who did you think it was?
Oh, what on earth were you making such a fuss about, Gary?
I make fuss. Don't know what you mean.
Why are you so completely dressed so very suddenly? You were asleep a few minutes ago.
Oh, no, I wasn't. And what's more, I most gravely doubt whether I shall ever sleep again.
Perhaps your conscience was troubling you.
I cannot for the life of me imagine why everybody is so absolutely beastly to me. I'm bullied and cross-questioned, ordered about from morning till night. I can't wait to get to Africa. To be away from a lot of you.
You won't exactly be unrelieved sadness for us.
Oh, for God's sake, stop bickering, both of you. I'm in the most terrible state.
Why? What about?
Well, Liz knows. I told her last night.
What does Liz know? What did you tell her last night?
Pull yourself together, Morris. Have a drink or something. You'll try not to be silly.
I don't want a drink. If I have a drink, it'll make it much worse. It always does.
This is the most fascinating little conversation, but I must say I should appreciate the full flavour of it more if I had the faintest inkling as to what it was all about.
I haven't slept for 3 nights, Gary, ever since you talked to me the other morning.
Oh, dear.
Why not?
It's bad enough getting one of my awful obsessions. Well, you know what I'm like when I get an obsession. God knows you've helped me through enough of them, but this time I've made an utter fool of myself, and I've lied to you into the bargain.
Lied to me? What do you mean?
Joanna and I love each other, Gary. It's been going on for months, but we made a pact that we'd lie about it to everyone, whatever happened, in order not to make an awful fuss and upset everyone. But I'm not used to lying to you. I never have before, and it's been absolutely driving me mad ever since. Yesterday afternoon, I couldn't bear it any longer, and I told Joanna I was going to tell you. She was furious, and she said she'd never speak to me again if I did, and went away and left me. I've been trying to find her ever since. She's disappeared. And her servant says she hasn't been home all night. I'm so terrified something's happened to her.
Perhaps it has.
Oh, you don't like her, Liz. You never did. I'm not sure that I do, really, but I love her.
You needn't fuss any more, Morris. Joanna spent the night with me.
Spent the night with you?
Yes, on the sofa.
She lost her latchkey.
No.
She's there now. I told her I'd tell you to ring her up if I saw you.
I'll go round now.
Well, you'd better ring up first and see if she's still there. She may have gone out. I'll get the number for you.
Oh, thanks, Liz. Thank you very much.
Hello? Maggie? Is Mrs. Lippia still there? All right. Here you are, Morris.
Oh, hello? Hello, Joanna?
Gary! You are utter fool.
Yes, it's me, Morris. I've been terribly worried about you. Why didn't you tell me you were with Liz?
How'd you get her out? She's not out. She's in the spare room on the other line.
Well, I thought something had happened to you. Yes, I'm at the studio. No, only Liz and Gary. Yes, I have. I had to. Oh, how can you be so cruel? Listen, Joanna. Look, I must see you. Joanna! She's hung up.
Serve you right.
I must see her. I must see her. What am I to do, Liz?
Control yourself and don't be hysterical.
I'm going to Liz's flat now.
You're not. You're coming with me.
Coming with you? Where to?
Hampstead Heath.
Oh, it's cruel and heartless of you to try to be funny at a moment like this when you know I'm utterly miserable.
I'm not trying to be funny. What's the matter with Hampstead Heath?
Be quiet, Gary. Listen, Morris. It really would be better if you didn't try and see Joanna in your present state. Have a drink and calm down.
For goodness sake, Liz, stop flogging everyone into dipsomania.
We'll see her later in the day.
I'm surrounded with lies and intrigue and sickening emotionalism, and I tell you here and now, I'm not going to put up with it for a minute longer. My whole life is spent trying to help people and giving them wise, kindly advice and trying to shield them from the buffets of fate, and what's the result? They batten on me. They drain every ounce of vitality out of me. And then expect me to go tramping back and forth all over darkest Africa in order to make money for them. Money, money, money. That's all they think about. And when I'm weltering in my last moments in some malarial swamp, all you'll be saying is 10%, 10%, 10%. What happens if I try to snatch a little happiness for myself? A little gaiety, a little relaxation. I'm at once accused of being immoral and undignified and letting down my position. Position, indeed. I have no more position than a little frightened beetle. Cringing away into the shadows, trying frantically to hide away from the blinding, merciless light of criticism.
Did you not give an appointment to Roland Moore this morning?
What?
Did you or did you not give an appointment to Roland Moore?
I most emphatically did not. He terrifies the life out of me.
Well, he's here.
I'm afraid I told a wicked lie about the appointment, but I had to see you. It was very important.
Mr. Moore, you promised to stay in the office.
Yes, I wanted to tell you that it's all right.
What's all right?
About what I felt about you. I've got the whole thing straightened out.
I'm absolutely delighted, and I congratulate you from the bottom of my heart, but you really must go away now.
Please go now, Mr. Moore. Mr. Essendine is in the middle of a conference.
Like hell he is.
Oh,
there's somebody at the door. Miss Erickson, Fred, there's somebody at the door. I've not the remotest idea who it is, but I strongly suspect it's a mad cripple from Stoke Poges who's passionately in love with me.
Well, I'd better go and let him in.
Mr. Moore, I really do think it would be better if you could come back later.
Couldn't I stay a little longer? You see, every moment I'm near him, I get smoother and smoother and smoother. My whole rhythm improves tremendously.
Joanna. She's disappeared.
I thought you weren't coming back till tomorrow.
She hasn't been home all night. Nobody knows where she is.
It's all right, Henry. She stayed with me.
But I...
No, if you don't believe me, ring her up. Monica, get my flat on the telephone. You know the number.
Yes, I do.
Oh, thank you, Monica, if you would. How do you do? My name's Roland Maul.
What? How do you do?
Roland Maul. I don't think we've met.
Oh, please go away, Mr. Maul.
Hello, Joanna? Hold on a minute. Henry wants to speak to you. Yes. Yes, he's here. In the studio.
Thank you. Darling, you gave me the most awful fright. No, I got through everything yesterday and there was no sense in staying, so I... But I sent a telegram. No, I couldn't think what had happened. Yes, we're all here. No, I think I shall have to lunch with Morris. There's some difficulty about the theatre for Gary for his play in the autumn. Will you be coming back to the house? All right, darling, I'll tell her. She says she's going out in a minute.
Oh, tell her to stay where she is. I'll pop in and see her presently.
Liz says, do stay where you are. She'll be around presently. What? Joanna, She's hung up.
There's a Lady Saltburn outside, Miss Reed. She's finished. There's an appointment for 11:30.
Lady who?
Good heavens, what's today?
Black Thursday.
Thursday? I'd completely forgotten.
Lady Saltburn's niece. You promised to give her an audition and recommend her to the RADA or something. Do you remember?
No, I most certainly do not. She must be sent away immediately.
We can't send Lady Saltburn away. She gave us £50 for the footlights fund.
I am in no condition to listen to people's nieces this morning. I'm on the verge of a nervous breakdown as it is.
Why? What's happened?
Too much, Henry. Far, far too much.
You must see her. It won't take a minute. It would be most terribly rude not to, after all you promised. Fred, ask her in.
Rightio, miss. It's all very exciting, isn't it?
We'd better go. I'll come back later, Gary. Liz, Henry?
Yes, all right. We'll go round to Liz's flat and talk to Joanna. It's only just round the corner.
No, I must go to the office and you must come too. It's urgent.
Lady Saltburn, Miss Daphne Stillington.
Oh, no!
Thank you, Monica, dear. You're a great comfort to me.
Oh, Mr. Essendine, this is so charming of you.
Not at all. It's a pleasure.
This is my niece, Daphne. I believe you knew her mother years ago. She died, you know, in Africa.
In Africa?
I've been longing to meet you, Mr. Essendine. I've loved everything you've ever done.
What a charming tribute.
Oh, Daphne simply wouldn't give me any peace until I had rung up your secretary and absolutely implored her for an appointment. She's so tremendously keen, you know.
Oh, she must be. I must introduce you to everybody. My wife, Lady Saltburn, my secretary, Miss Reed.
How do you do? You were so kind on the telephone.
And these two vivacious figures are Mr. Lipiat in blue.
How do you do?
And Mr. Dixon in grey. Yeah. Mr. Moore in yellow.
How do you do?
Oh, how do you do? This is quite a peek behind the scenes, isn't it, Daphne, dear?
This is the most thrilling moment of my life, Mr. Essendine. I've always wondered what you'd be like close to...
Please excuse us. We really must go.
How sad. Goodbye.
Liz?
I'll come later.
All right. Goodbye. Goodbye, Lady Saltburn. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Moore.
I'm staying, too.
Won't you sit down, Lady Saltburn?
Oh, thank you so much. Are you ready, Daphne? You know how busy Mr. Essendine is. I'm sure it's very sweet of him to see us at all. We mustn't impose on him.
Yes, I'm ready.
What are you going to do, sing?
No, I'm not going to sing. I'm just going to say a few lines.
Say a few lines. Would you like to stand on anything?
No.
Sit on anything?
No.
Glass of water?
No, thank you.
Far away.
We meet not as we parted.
I knew it.
We feel more than all may see. My bosom is heavy-hearted, and thine full of doubt for me. One moment has bound the free. That moment has gone forever, like lightning that flashed and died, like a
snowflake, dear.
Snowflake upon the river. Like a sunbeam upon the tide, which the dark shadows hide. That moment from time was singled.
Singled? Very good. Never heard that before.
As the first of a life of pain, the cup of its joy was mingled.
Even better, mingled.
Delusion too sweet, though vain. Too sweet to be mine again.
Very good indeed.
That spare room is like a frigid air.
Yeah,
and I have no intention of staying in it one moment longer. Will somebody kindly call me a taxi?
You'd better take my car, Joanna. It's downstairs.
The chauffeur's got red hair, and his name's Frobisher.
Oh, Daphne!
Thank you very much. I shan't see you again, Gary. I'm going to Paris tomorrow for a month, so this is goodbye. I do hope that when you go to Africa, you'll be wise enough to take all your staunch, loyal satellites with you. It's too dangerous for a little tinsel star to go twinkling off alone and unprotected. Please don't imagine that I haven't enjoyed the circus enormously. I have. But in the circuses I've been used to, it was always the ringmaster who cracked the whip, not the clowns. Goodbye.
Oh, she's fainted. Oh, Daphne.
Oh,
this is splendid. Splendid. I feel reborn.
Oh, go to hell.
Is everything packed, Monica?
Yes. I must be going home now, Gary.
Oh, Monica, don't leave me. I feel depressed.
Just now you were screaming for peace. I'll be here first thing in the morning.
I wish you were coming with me. I shall be utterly lost with some dreary, temporary African.
Is Liz coming to the station?
No.
Why don't you go round and see her?
You know perfectly well. She's still in a rage. I haven't seen her for a week.
Have you tried?
Of course I have. I've telephoned her 3 times. Each time she spoke to me kindly and remotely as though an idiot child. I'm not sure she didn't spell some of the words out for me.
Would you like me to have a go at her?
Certainly not. If she wishes to behave like an outraged mother superior with chilblains, let her get on with it.
I do see her point. You really did go a little too far.
For heaven's sake, don't you start on me, too. I've got enough to put up with.
By the way, you'd better be careful if the telephone rings. Roland Maul has been calling up all the week.
I should welcome even him tonight. At least he'd be interesting psychologically.
So would Rasputin.
Oh, I feel dreadfully flat.
Oh.
I suppose everybody feels flat when they're going away.
It's your own fault that you're alone, you know. You refused all offers. You pleaded for a few hours' solitude and said you'd throw yourself out of the window if you didn't get it and that then we should all be sorry.
I wonder if I shall ever see England again. I see myself under a mosquito net, fighting for breath.
Who with?
You have no imagination, Monica. Just a flat, literal mind. Must be very depressing for you.
Now, now, now. You're getting a big boy, you know. You'll be 42 next birthday. Just fancy.
41 next birthday. Just fancy.
Good night, darling.
I do envy you, Monica. You're so serene and unruffled. You go churning through life like some frightening old warship.
Thank you, darling. That sounds most attractive. Good night.
Have one more drink.
No, thanks. I really must be getting home. Good night.
Going away now, Miss Rosenbaum. Have you everything you want?
Frankly, Miss Erickson, no, I have nothing that I want.
Oh, what a pity.
Have you? Have any of us what we want?
Oh. Mr. Essendine, you're only acting. For a moment, I was quite upset.
You lead a very strange life, Miss Erickson. Do you enjoy it?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Tell me all about it, from A to Z. Where are you going now, for instance?
I am going to my friend in Hammersmith. She is a German.
Is she a spy?
Yes, I think so, but she is very kind.
I understand from Fred she's also a medium.
Oh, dear, yes. Sometimes she makes a trance. It's very surprising. She will lie on the ground for many hours making noises.
What sort of noises?
They're different. Sometimes she sings high up like a bird. Other times she may make a little bark. Often she is very ill.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, well, I must be pushing off now, Mr. Essendine.
Push away, Miss Erickson. It's been most interesting. Thank you very much.
Not at all. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, thank you very much. Hello, it's me.
Daphne. Really, Daphne, dear, how very sweet of you to think of coming to say goodbye.
But I haven't come to say goodbye.
What do you mean?
I'm coming with you. I bought my ticket this afternoon.
You what?
I've run away. I left a note for my aunt. You see, I know something now. I've known it all the week, really, ever since that awful morning when I fainted, when that dreadful prostitute came out of the spare room in that tawdry evening gown.
That was no prostitute, Daphne. That was the wife of one of my dearest friends.
Never mind. I know that you need me now as I need you.
Now, Daphne, dear, this is really too absurd. You must go home at once.
Oh, I knew you would say that.
Please, put on your hat again and don't be silly.
I know you better than you think I do. I know when you're acting and when you're not. You're acting now.
I'm not doing any such thing. I'm speaking to you with the utmost sincerity of which I'm capable when I order you to put on your hat, get into a taxi, and go back to your aunt.
No, you needn't be frightened. I won't make any demands on you, whatever. I don't want you to marry me or anything like that. I'll just be there when you want me, when you're tired and lonely and want someone to put their arms round you. I won't even see you on the boat if you don't want me to. Not a very good sailor, anyhow.
Not a very good sailor.
There's somebody at the door.
Oh, who is it?
How do I know? You'd better wait in the spare room.
No, Gary, please, not the spare room.
All right, the office then. Only go quickly.
Oh, I'll get rid of them soon. Promise whoever it is.
Here, don't leave your hat. Oh. In you go. Quiet as a mouse now.
I must see
you. No, I beg you, can't. I'm going to bed.
It's a matter of life and death. I'm afraid I must insist.
Come back. What the hell do you mean by forcing yourself into my house like this?
That's right. Shout. You're magnificent when you're angry.
I tell you something, young man. You're just raving bloody mad. That's what's the matter with you. Please leave this house immediately.
I'm afraid I can't. It's quite impossible. I've burnt my boats.
Burnt your what?
Boats.
Now look here, Mr. Moore.
You may call me Roland.
Well, Roland, I want to put this to you sensibly and calmly. This is my last night in England, and I have a great deal to do.
You said just now that you were going to bed.
Be that as it may, Roland, I would still like...
I know you think I'm mad, and I really don't blame you a bit, but I assure you I'm not at all. After all, there's no valid reason, is there, why I shouldn't be acting being mad, just as you're acting being sane.
I'm not acting!
Oh, you are always acting. That is what's so fascinating. And you're so used to it, you don't realize it yourself. I am always acting, too. I've been acting being mad with you because it amuses me to see you put on a surprised face. I'm absolutely devoted to your face in every mood.
I suppose you wouldn't consider acting getting the hell out of here, would you?
That's wonderful.
Ah, what exactly do you want?
To be with you. That's why I'm coming to Africa.
That's why you're what?
I bought my ticket this morning. It's only steerage, but that's better than a poke in the ear with a burnt stick. I've given up my law studies and left Uckfield for good. And that's why I'm rather excitable tonight. You needn't be frightened that I shall get in your way or make any demands on you.
Oh, you mean you don't expect me to marry you? There's somebody at the door. Now, please be a good boy and go away with you.
Please don't send me away. You're too great a person to be unkind. Let me stay with you. I can protect you from a whole lot of things you know nothing about.
Such as?
Yourself. All your dangerous vibrations. I won't let you send me away. You'll regret it your whole life long if you do. I'll wait in the spare room.
Mr. Moore, come out of that room immediately. Don't be such a bloody fool. Roland, dear. Oh, my God, who the hell's that? Joanna!
Hello, darling.
What's the meaning of this, Joanna?
Don't you know?
Yes, I know. You're coming to Africa with me. You bought your ticket this afternoon. You're not going to make any demands on me. And you're not a good sailor.
I'm a perfect sailor. What are you doing?
Telephoning Henry.
Henry? Oh.
Hello? I'm so terribly, terribly, terribly sorry. It's the wrong number. Yes.
No good doing that anyway. He's not in.
It doesn't matter now.
Darling, under this rather taut, strained manner of yours, deep down inside, aren't you just a little bit glad to see me?
Absolutely delighted. It'll settle things once and for all.
That's what I thought.
When did you get back from Paris?
This afternoon. Did you get my telegram saying goodbye?
Yes, Monica read it out to me.
Good, I meant her to.
I thought you were going to stay for a month.
No, you didn't. You knew perfectly well I wouldn't be able to. I must say I tried for the first few days to put you out of my mind, railed against you. Then I remembered.
What did you remember?
I remembered what you said to me the other night. You said no matter what comes after this, what circumstances combine against us, what tears are shed. This is magic, the loveliest magic that I've ever known.
That is from the second act of Love Is So Simple.
Yes, I recognized it. I saw the play several times, you know.
In that case, why on earth do you believe it?
I didn't. The fact that you're saying it proved something to me. It proved that you are no more sincere emotionally than I am. That you no longer need the pangs of love, but are willing to settle for the fun of love. I couldn't agree with you more.
That, to date, is the most immoral statement I've ever heard in my life.
It's true, though, isn't it?
No, it's not.
No need to be tested, darling.
How dare you, Joanna? It's women like you who undermine the whole integrity of civilization.
What's that out of?
It's not out of anything.
As I told you the other night, I've always wanted you. I've always known instinctively that we were right for each other. You need me. The people around you are no longer enough.
I need you. You're the first man I've ever met who's worthy of my esteem. I can't guarantee that we shall be domestically happy together, but we'll have a good time.
Well, I'll be damned.
You were quite right when you said just now with remarkable clairvoyance that I was coming to Africa with you. I am. I've got the bridal suite. It was all they had left.
Oh, my God.
And I've written a note to Henry explaining everything. He's dining with Morris at the Athenaeum. They can read it together. Oh, who's that?
With any luck, it's the Lord Chamberlain.
Gary?
Ah, Liz, come along.
Hello, Joanna.
Liz, darling, how nice you look.
Thank you so much. I do my best.
I think it's only fair to tell you. I'm sailing with Gary tomorrow.
What fun! So am I.
What, dear?
I decided this afternoon.
It's certainly a big day for the Union Castle line.
If I may say so, Liz, I think that's rather silly of you.
I really don't see why. It'll be charming. We can all eat together at the same table and do our lifeboat drill together.
I think it's only fair to warn you that Joanna has written a little note to Henry and Morris explaining everything.
Good. Then they'll probably be coming too.
And I should like to take this opportunity of cutting my throat from ear to ear.
Nonsense, darling. You'll enjoy the voyage enormously. There won't be a dull moment.
You think you're being very clever, Liz, don't you?
For a woman of your experience, Joanna, you're being a trifle obtuse. It's very important for all of us that this African tour of Gary's should be a success. Obviously, there's no way of preventing you coming if you want to. But you'd better realize it before it's too late that from the social and publicity angle, you will be there as a friend of mine.
I'll give you just two guesses as to who that is.
A gathering of the clan.
I'll go, Gary.
Perhaps I was wrong about you after all. You haven't got the guts of a rabbit.
I'm very glad I haven't. I'm sure they'd be extremely inadequate.
Is it true? That's all I want to know. Is it true?
False friend. False friend.
Come, Morris. You're not in the Athenaeum now.
It's no good trying to be flippant. This is a miserable, disgusting situation, and you know it.
A stab in the back. That's what it is. A low-down stab in the back.
Not too low-down, I hope.
I've had a note from Joanna. She says that you've been lovers and that you're going away together tomorrow. Is that true?
Perfectly true.
Answer me, Gary.
I'll tell you what's true and what's not true, and you can stop bouncing up and down like a rubber ball and listen.
Be careful, Gary.
Careful? I've been a damn sight too careful with a lot of you for years.
Have you or have you not been Joanna's lover?
Yes, I have.
You miserable cat.
You shut up. Joanna, you came here the other night determined to get me, didn't you? And you were plausible and superficially alluring enough to succeed. You certainly aroused my curiosity very cleverly, but it takes more than cleverness to touch either my heart or my mind.
You haven't got a heart or a mind. You haven't got one decent instinct in you. You're morally unstable and false through and through.
For the love of God, stop being theatrical.
Oh, dear.
Look here, Henry. It's high time you and I got down to brass tacks. You're taking up a very high and mighty attitude over this, but if you'll trouble and look at the facts, honestly, for 1 minute, you'll find that you don't mind as much as you think you do.
No.
Morris is the one who minds for the moment.
Morris? What do you mean?
Oh, Gary, that was disgraceful of you.
Disgraceful, my foot. I'm sick of everybody lying and intriguing and acting all over the place.
All right, Gary, you win. I wouldn't have thought anyone could think so low.
Fiddle-dee-dee.
What did you mean about Morris? Answer me.
I mean that Morris and Joanna have been carrying on an abortive little ding-dong under your silly nose for months.
I'll never speak to you again until the day I die.
Well, we can have a nice little chat then, can't we?
Morris, Joanna, is this true?
Of course it's true. Mind you, it hasn't lasted quite so long as your rather dreary little affair with Vera Radcliffe. That's been hiccuping along for nearly a year now.
Henry!
And don't you pretend that you didn't know Joanna. You were absolutely delighted it gave you room to expand.
I told you that in the deepest confidence. How could you be so vile as to betray it?
I'm sick to death of being stuffed with everybody's confidences. I'm bulging with them. You, all of you, come to me over and over again and pour your damn tears and emotions and sentiment over me until I'm wet through. You all behave just as badly as I do, really. In many ways, a great deal worse. You believe in your lachrymose amorous hangovers. I at least have the grace to take mine lightly. You, Henry, wallow. And I laugh because I believe now, and I have always believed, that there is far too much damn nonsense talked about sex.
You, Maurice, love taking your poultry attachments seriously. That's your way of enjoying yourself. Henry's technique is a little different. He plumps for the domestic blend. That's why he got tired of Joanna so quickly. Anyway, he's perfectly suited with poor Vera. She's been knee-deep in pasture ever since she left Rodine. Joanna is different again. She devotes a great deal of time to sex, not for the intrinsic pleasure of it. Oh, no. Merely as a means to an end. She is a collector, a go-getter, an unscrupulous, attractive pirate. Personally, I'm none of these things. To me, the whole thing's vastly overrated, and always has been. I enjoy it for what it's worth, and what's more, I fully intend to go on doing so for as long as anybody's interested. And when the time comes that they're not, I shall be perfectly content to settle down with an apple and a good book.
Well, I'll be damned. Of all the brazen, arrogant sophistry I've ever listened to, that takes the prize for all time.
You have the nerve to work yourself up into a state of moral indignation about us when we all know...
I have not worked myself up into anything. I'm merely defending my right to speak the truth for once.
Truth? You wouldn't recognize the truth if you saw it. You spend your whole life attitudinizing and posturing and showing off.
And where would you all be if I didn't? I should like to know. I suppose you'll be telling me next it's your restraining influence that's maintained me as an idol of the public for 20 years.
You're not the idol of the public. Look what happened to you in Pity the Blind.
I was magnificent in Pity the Blind.
Yes, for 10 days.
11.
If it hadn't been for us, he'd have done Peer Gynt.
Did anybody else so much as mention Peer Gynt in my house again? I swear before the bar of heaven I shall produce it at Drury Lane.
Well, you won't produce it on my money. This has been a disgusting, degrading scene. If it wasn't for the fact that Morris and I signed the contract for the Forum Theatre this morning, we should both of us wash our hands of you forever.
What?
What?
Now, Gary, for heaven's sake.
I'm sick of this idiotic performance. I'm going. Do you hear me, all of you? I'm going for good.
Take my car. It's downstairs.
This has been a great evening for speaking the truth, hasn't it? Well, I should like to add just one little contribution to the entertainment before I leave. I consider you, Mr. Gary Essendine, to be not only an overbearing, affected egomaniac, but the most unmitigated cad it has ever been my misfortune to meet. And I most devoutly hope that I shall never set eyes on you again as long as I live.
Do you mean to tell me, Henry, that you signed a contract for that theatre? But I particularly told you that no power on God's earth would induce me to set foot in it.
Now, look here,
I
Gary.
Will not look there. No, no, no. This is nothing more or less than the most outrageous betrayal of faith, and I'm deeply, deeply angry.
Listen, Gary, as I told you the other day, they're doing up the whole theatre, reseating the orchestra floor, which will put over 100 on the capacity.
There you are. Money, money, money.
In addition, they're simply mad to have you there, and have even consented to put a shower bath in your dressing room.
I don't care if they put a swimming bath in my dressing room, and a squash court, and a Steinway grand. I will not play a light French comedy to an auditorium that looks like a Gothic edition of Wembley Stadium. No, no, no.
It won't look like that, darling. I've seen the designs. They're very good.
So you've seen the designs. So you're in this too. Traitress, traitress.
Really, Gary, I promise you.
Go away. Go away, all of you. I can bear no more. I have to face that dreadful sea voyage tomorrow. And then those agonizing months of drudgery across the length and breadth of what is admitted to be the most sinister continent there is. Please, 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 all of you, go. Parasites. Parasites. Vultures waiting to claw the flesh from my bones. For 20 years I've given you everything. I gave you my youth. Where is my youth today, sent whistling down the wind? I gave you my vitality. Where is my vitality drained out of me? And now, when I'm nothing but a husk, an empty shell, I'm to be sent out to die in a white man's grave. Oh, oh.
Go on, both of you. I'll talk to him.
Well, that performance wouldn't deceive a kitten. He's losing his grip. Come on, Henry.
It's a pity they're pulling down the Lyceum.
They're not. Oh, I feel quite exhausted. You're not really coming to Africa with me, are you?
Certainly I am, and not only to Africa. I'm coming back to you for good.
Liz, darling, I don't want you to come back to me. I'm perfectly happy as I am.
That can't be helped. You behave abominably anyway, but you won't be able to be quite so bad with me there.
Liz, I implore you not to come back to me. Have you no sympathy, no heart?
I'm thinking of the good of the firm. Oh, that reminds me. I must leave a note in the office for Monica.
The office? My God!
What's the matter?
Daphne's in there.
Who's in there?
Daphne. And Roland Moore's in the spare room.
You've got a sofa in your flat, haven't you?
Of course. Why?
You're not coming back to me, Liz, dear. I'm coming back to you.
That was Paul Schofield as Gary Essendine in Noel Coward's Present Laughter. Joy Parker played Liz Essendine, Patricia Routledge, Monica Reed, and Fenella Fielding, Joanna Lippert. Alan Rowe played Henry Lippert, Vernon Joyner, Maurice Dixon, Miriam Margulies, Daphne Stillington, Betty Huntley Wright, Lady Saltburn, Timothy Bateson, Fred, Diana Olson, Miss Erickson, and David Timpson, Roland Moore. Present Laughter was adapted for radio and produced by Ian Cottrell.
That play was first broadcast in 1974.